listening to the Fish on Ted podcast with your host, Ted Johnson.
Well, hello, this is Ted Johnson with the Fish on Ted podcast. I want to thank everybody for joining us today. You know, by God, we're in our fifth year of doing this, and we have had so many interesting guests and just amazing conversations with people in the fishing and the hunting world. And today will be no different. We're recording this. If you are listening to this down the road, we're recording this the first day of August in the year of 2023. And our nation is going through some heat waves, and in Texas and the lower, 48, it's just blistering down there. Up here in the Northwest, we're about 90 degrees right now, so we're a little bit uncomfortable too, but not like those people or our guest today that is talking to us from the great state of Missouri. I'm not going to steal any of his thunder. I'm going to tell you the name of his company and his name, and then we'll start asking him questions. The name of the company is Alco Bullets. I think you'll be as fascinated as I am at what they actually do. Bill Shepik and his wife Honor are the ones that run the company, and we have Bill on the line with us, I think. Hey, Bill, are you there, man?
I am. Thanks for having me.
You bet, Bill. How are you handling that heat that you have down there right now?
We just stay inside or go to an air-conditioned swimming pool.
Oh, there you there you go. I think I'd be in that pool a lot. That sounds like it's really hot and muggy down there. But I hope for your sake that the wind shifts a little bit in the coming days and maybe cools down a little bit. But, Bill, you know.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Absolutely. You know, you and I got acquainted a couple months ago, and it's been really a lot of fun learning about what you do. And the name of the company is Alco Bullets. And can you give us a little bit of history about Alco Bullets and really what you do?
Well, Alco Bullets was formed by a gentleman who lived in Sun City, Arizona. Uh-huh. And he was producing bullets on kind of a small scale. But I saw it and was introduced to his products and really was fascinated by everything that he was doing. And of course, the next thing that he told me was that he was ready to retire and, he was interested in selling the company. And so we bought the company in 2015 and, he helped us get started, trying to really understand what we were doing because this was unlike anything I had ever done, prior to that. And, so it's a company that makes custom bullets for primarily long range shooters and hunters. And so our customers are people who do hand loading of their own ammunition, and they're looking for, precision bullets that in various calibers.
Very good. And I was going to touch on that because when I first heard that you were making bullets, I was assuming that you were providing the casing and the gunpowder and the primers and the whole thing. And that's really not what you do. It's actually just the business end of the bullet, if you may. And you refine these down in such a way that the people that are shooting long distances, they come to you for those types of ordinances, do they not?
Yeah, the misconception typically with the wording is that people say, well, it was a bullet, and they really mean ammunition. Yeah. And so we provide just the projectiles to customers who are doing their own hand loading. What makes the projectiles unique is that they're built on a design that's relatively new, maybe in the last 10 or 15 years. And they're basically called ultra low drag style bullets. And what that means is that they're longer and sleeker, and they have, few more refinements on the base and on the tip that allow them to fly farther and fly more accurately.
Uh-huh.
And, so bullets have evolved over time from, a round ball to, what the industry called a Spitzer bullet, which was kind of like a Civil War maxi ball. Mm-hmm. And then now we're into completely different, all kinds of different technologies from the ones that we make, solid copper bullets that are machined on CNC style lathing machines. And so there's a whole lot of new things in the industry.
Oh, that's fascinating. And you make these bullets in different calibers, do you not? And are they mainly for larger caliber guns? Is that right?
Well, the copper jacketed bullets that we make, and we really have two different parts of our company. We make bullets for the reloader, which is, you know, typically those bullets are always copper jacketed, which just means that in whether it's our company or whether it's Hornaday or Berger who are making bullets, they use copper and they form it into a cylinder and they fill it with lead and then they basically finish the tip of the bullet and the base of the bullet in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it based on a design. Well, we do that in calibers that range from 224 to 452. So we cover some of the large muzzleloader style bullets. We cover a lot of the traditional hunting calibers, 308, 284, 7mm. We also have bullets in the 224 range, mm-hmm. in the copper jacketed ones. So we cover a lot of and that's just the dimension of the bullet. So when I say 224, there's probably at least 40 different cartridges that would use a bullet like that. So it covers a wide range of rifles and applications. And, you know, so 308, there's probably at least 150 different cartridges that may use a bullet that's, you know, got those dimensions.
I did not know that. Really? I'll be darned. And so when people are using these precision bullets and they're doing long range shooting, how far out are they shooting, Bill?
Well, currently, you know, people think of, you know, kind of mid-range, long-range target shooters that are what a lot of people would call in the mid-range, mm-hmm. you know, are shooting out to 1,000 yards, you know, somewhere wow. between 600, 800, 1,000 yards. And some people have taken that extreme long-range shooting out to, you know, 3,500 yards. And they use very, very specialized equipment to do that. And up at the upper end of the extreme shooting, they tend to be very, very large calibers, and they tend to be very, very heavy bullets because they're just better in the wind. But, you know, right now they have a competition called King of the 2 Mile.
Uh-huh.
And so that kind of shooting was really unheard of 20 years ago. I mean, it wasn't that long ago where people, you know, military trained people out to 600 yards on military ranges, and then, you know, it's kind of evolved past that. So you got people shooting a long ways, and, you know, the professional rifle shooter series, what they call PRS shooters,
uh-huh.
they shoot at random distances that from in different positions. So the competition is, you know, you got 90 seconds to get 5 rounds onto a steel plate, and that could be at 300 yards, it could be at 600 yards, it could be at 800 yards. And through the course of the competition, you know, you get to shoot off of the top of a truck or a trailer or off the ground, or, you know, there's a lot of different challenges that people put into it. So that's a very, very popular sport that's really taken off in probably the last 10 or 15 years. And a lot of the customers that buy precision bullets are into that kind of competition.
I'll be darned. Now, do you shoot yourself in those types of environments and competitions?
Well, I don't really shoot competitively, but, you know, I have shot at some of the ranges that these people, you know, are using, and it's really a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
You know, honestly, it's very addicting to hear steel plates being hit when you shoot bullets and you hit those steel plates at 600 or 700 yards. Sometimes at those ranges, you really can't even really hear the impact, which many times you'll see is they'll have a red light that's attached to the target. So when it moves, it'll actually, it'll light up. And, you know, once you get started on that kind of passion, I mean, it's kind of hard to turn back because it's so much fun.
Oh, I'll bet. I mean, just, you know, the calibration and the mathematics and all that crazy stuff that goes on. I mean, that, you know, that must be just fascinating what they're doing to, you know, sight in on something at different ranges. Especially in a competition, that'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah. The you know, the trajectory is as many people say, trajectory is just a lot of mathematics. But then trying to judge what the wind is going to do to your bullet when it's in the air, well, that's a lot of the voodoo that goes into it, because, you know, you can have all the mathematics figured out, how much your bullet's going to drop at specific distances. But then when you start to compete or you want to start to hit targets, well, now you got to figure out what is the wind conditions going to do. And that's a big part of the competition and the strategy is that.
Okay.
So there's a lot of elements to it that are just something that is, you know, it's beyond most people's skills when they start. So it gives them a chance to, spend a lot of time learning how to do it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's so cool. Now, you've added also another component to your offerings, and that's with the big caliber air guns. You're producing pellets and precision pellets for those people also, are you not?
Yeah, in about 2017, we were approached by a manufacturer of PCP air guns, which are pneumatically charged air guns. And most people's recollection of air guns is like mine, that the little pump Crossman,
yep,
120 or 22 or 177 pellet guns that you used to, you know, harass the neighbor's birds with when you're a kid.
Right.
The whole industry, this industry worldwide has created very powerful, large caliber air guns that PCP just means that it's charged from an external source. So the guns have a tank on board that is charged up to, you know, sometimes between 3,500 and 4,000 PSI of air. And so they can have a trigger system that meters out enough air to push the bullet downrange, and it's adjustable. So, you know, they can create very, very effective hunting weapons with them. And we started making these guns. We started making bullets for this company, and it was in the 50 caliber range. So they were, you know, half inch in diameter. They're 350 grain bullets.
Wow.
So that was our start, was at the upper end of the calibration. And so we started making bullets that basically kind of were mirror images of what we were doing with our long range bullets in 308 and 45 caliber, as well as 50 caliber. And so it's just kind of really taken off. And in 2017, I really didn't know anything about this type of firearm. It was all new to me.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of new to the U.S. I mean, in Europe and in Asia, these high powered air guns have been around for a while because, you know, the restrictions on powder guns, you know, gunpowder guns in foreign countries is such that, you know, for hunting and for target shooting and things like that, people have used air guns.
Right.
So
right.
They started, they're importing them from Sweden and Korea and Britain. And so they started this industry in the United States, and it's really relatively new. A lot of people are not familiar with it, but, you know, the big bore air guns are very, very capable for hunting. You know, people have used them to, you know, hunt for bears and moose and elk in North America and other African animals. The only limitation you have compared to a gunpowder gun is your range. Your range is usually limited to around 200 yards or less.
Okay.
Whereas, you know, a lot of the people who are buying our bullets that are hunting with them, you know, they've all kind of fallen in love with the ultra long range shooting, and now they want to go ultra long range hunting. And so that whole crowd is looking for bullets that, you know, will give you the terminal ballistics as well as the ballistics, you know, in flight.
Right.
And our bullets will do that because of the way they're designed.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. And so, and that's what fascinated me, is that when I heard that you know, you were doing, you know, or the people were hunting big game with these, you know, the modified or big bore air guns, you know, like in the state of Oregon, we looked up in the regulations, you can shoot elk and deer with them. Up in Alaska, they let you shoot both black bear and brown bear with these air guns. I mean, it's just fascinating to me. And then in the way you explained it to me, with these tanks that are on the gun, you can actually have weapons that are repeaters too. It's just not you put one pellet in and then you pump it 84 times and shoot, and then you have to put another pellet in. I mean, it's semi-automatic, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, even the single shot rifles, which a lot of the big bore rifles, they came with basically a magazine that you could put a single bullet into the chamber and then fire it.
Uh-huh.
But your onboard air was probably good for 5 or 6 consecutive shots that would have the equivalent power. So you could always mark your range and know that your trajectory is going to be very similar for at least 5 shots before you'd have to refill with air.
Mm-hmm.
And that's determined by the weight of the bullet. So, you know, the guns that we first started building these bullets for, they would perform 5 consistent shots with bullets in the 300 grain range. And, the physics of the air gun is such that, a 300 grain bullet that's going less than supersonic, and air guns are what you would refer to as a subsonic round. They're going to fly at less than 1,175 feet a second, which is the sound barrier.
Right.
Well, what they're going to do is even at slow speeds, these things are going to have the kinetic energy of large caliber handguns, large caliber rifles.
Uh-huh.
So they're very, very effective, even though, people don't realize that, the buffalo hunters all shot rifles that were subsonic as well. You could literally see the bullets crossing across the horizon.
Uh-huh.
If you had good eyes, and they were very effective at hunting buffalo and hunting large game with them. So very, very fast bullets like most people are used to. It's just, that's just a different part of the gun world. Slow and big works.
it sure does, doesn't it? I mean, it's amazing looking at your website and all of the people that have written in with, where they have pictures of themselves killing a deer or killing a hog or, some other critters that they're out there shooting with these things. And it just blows my mind. I mean, here you have a comparatively, I would think they're a very silent weapon, are they not? I mean, they're not breaking the sound barrier, so you're not getting a crack out of the muzzle like you do on a rifle.
Exactly. You hear a rush of air that comes out of the gun, but the bullet doesn't achieve the supersonic speed, so you don't get that sound barrier effect. And then a lot of the guns come with barrel shrouds and some form of suppressor.
Uh-huh.
That mitigates the sound. And so people are using them in urban areas. I think you're going to see more cities, counties that do urban hunting for, animal control.
Right.
They'll start using them simply because, nobody's going to complain about them because they're not even really going to understand what they are. The sounds mm-hmm. are not going to alert the neighbors, so to speak.
Right, right. Oh, that's interesting. And how are these cylinders on these guns, how are they charged? Do you take a portable tank with you or something like that when you're hunting or when you're at the range?
Well, to get started in air gun shooting, PCP air gun shooting, first you're going to need a gun, and then you're going to need to invest in some kind of system to charge it, either a pump or a lot of people just use scuba tanks.
Oh, uh-huh.
So that's what I use. I go to a scuba shop and fill up a tank, and I can fill the gun off of that numerous times. So I don't really have to do that more than I probably do it once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I can shoot quite a bit with it. And if I was on a hunting trip, I would take that, have that thing topped off with air. And then I would top off the gun with that. That would give me 5 or 6 shots, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then I would have to refill.
Right.
And so obviously in hunting, you're not probably necessarily going to shoot rapid fire or want to do that. You know, 1 or 2 shots might be your limit on game in particular.
Right.
Right. So it's very manageable. The tanks on the guns are small. They're about the size of maybe a 20-ounce soda bottle. Oh, and they're okay. Mounted on the bottom of the gun and the barrel on the top. The beauty of air guns is that once you figure out your trajectory, so if you're shooting a consistent bullet weight, you know, you're going to know approximately right away where your targets are going to be impacted by the bullet. So you've got your trajectory figured out. Now it's just a simple matter of loading the gun with air and bullets and you're off and running.
Mm-hmm.
Another advantage of the air guns is that if you wanted to get somebody involved in target shooting or hunting, a young person or somebody who might be recoil sensitive or sensitive to the gunpowder issues related with recoil and sound, air guns are a good starting point. I mean, my dad introduced me to shooting with a 22 caliber Crosswind gun that was made probably in the 1920s. And and so we had a lot of fun with that. And then when I went to Boy Scout camp, we did the same thing. We had pellet guns there. We had 22 caliber guns that shot 22 shorts. And those were the range weapons that we used. And that's how we got started.
Mm-hmm.
And so that same thing's available to you today. But instead of using the small calibers that, you know, were associated, you know, when I was a kid,
right.
Now you can introduce your kids to hunting and target shooting with one of these larger guns.
Oh, no kidding.
And it's a pretty, it's not much of an investment simply because, you know, you're just basically buying lead slugs and you're off and running.
Right.
When you buy ammunition or buying bullets and reloading, you know, that's just another whole rabbit hole there involved in.
Yeah. That gets really expensive, does it not?
Well, it can be expensive, but it also requires, you know, another complete set of skills that you have to develop.
Well, that's true.
You know, reloading ammunition for any firearm is another whole set of skills that a lot of people just don't have.
Mm-hmm.
They may not have the time to do it. They may not have the interest in doing it. But with air guns, as I said, once you figure out how to get them on target, now it's just a matter of filling it up with air and putting bullets in it and pulling the trigger.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's interesting. You mentioned about, you know, the rest of the world outside the U.S. and the use of air guns in those different countries. A lot of my listeners know that I spent almost 7.5 years in Southeast Asia, and my father-in-law doesn't have a gun, but he has a pellet gun, and that's what he uses to go shoot critters with and plink around with, because you can't get a true firearm in where he's at without going through, you know, jumping through a lot of hoops and that sort of thing. So we're just sort of playing catch up with the rest of the world, are we not?
Yeah, it's on the air gun world, we are. I mean, everybody in the United States knows somebody that's got a gunpowder gun.
Right.
And, but we, you know, this is just a whole new avenue. As far as hunting, most of the conservation commissions across the United States have adopted air guns as a legal form of what they refer to as alternative methods. So in Missouri, an alternative method season is designated for just that. They'll have a rifle season. They'll have an alternative season. They'll have a muzzleloader season, and usually with youth age groups. And then they'll have archery. And that's kind of typical across the United States. So, you know, with an air gun, it gives somebody who wants to hunt another season that they can hunt besides the rifle season.
Oh, right.
So that's one of the appeals to these alternative methods. And air guns are just, you know, part of that whole world. But, you know, they're just kind of a new thing for the United States to get involved in.
Yeah. Now, are air guns regulated like traditional firearms in the U.S.? Or how are they, you know, how are they perceived in the eyes of, you know, of the law when it comes to, you know, lethal weapons and that sort of thing?
Well, as far as hunting goes, typically in Missouri, they'll designate a caliber, a minimum caliber size. So in Missouri, it's 45 caliber or greater. But the ATF, as far as regulation goes, does not consider an air gun a firearm. So there are no restrictions on ownership. There are no FFL transfers or FFL requirements for people to be dealers.
Really? No kidding. No kidding. That's interesting. I went to a local sporting goods store here called Sportsman's Warehouse, and they had a whole section of air guns in there now, and they were all 177s and 20 calibers and 22 calibers, not the large bore stuff. But they were just sort of sitting on the shelf, and you could go pick up your, you know, six pack of pop and your parka and your boots and buy your pellet gun all at the same time. And, you know, if you paid cash for it, they had no idea who you were. And I thought that was interesting.
And a lot of the big retailers, the Academies and Bass Pros, you know, they've adopted those smaller caliber guns as part of their product line. They're gradually working their way into the larger caliber and the more sophisticated guns.
Uh-huh.
You know, some of the more sophisticated air guns can cost as much as any of the top brand name high powered rifles by a long shot. I mean, they're firearms that come from Sweden that, you know, cost as much as $3,000.
Wow.
And they're used by competitive shooters primarily.
Uh-huh.
But they're very precise, very precision made. And but the whole price, you know, the range of prices on air guns, you know, can go anywhere from $600 to, like you said, $3,000.
Right.
But so that makes it kind of difficult for a retailer to, you know, bring in some firearms, especially since a lot of people are just not familiar with them. But, mm-hmm. but if they're getting familiar with them, believe me, there's a big push across the United States, and, you know, kind of word of mouth, there are a lot of people that are finding out that air guns are a lot of fun, a lot of good family fun. Like I said, if you've got young kids or you've got somebody who's an adult that's kind of afraid to get involved in using high-powered firearms, this is a good way to start.
Uh-huh.
And give them a chance to hunt with it as well as have fun target shooting.
Oh, absolutely. That is so cool. And your
once you get the investment, and once your investment's made on the gun and the tank, the ammunition is a lot less costly than it is to buy cartridges that include primers and brass and powder and bullets and all that.
Oh, I know that game. Yeah, that right now, you know, it's incredible what a guy pays for 25 rounds of almost anything. I mean, it's gone through the roof compared to what it used to be. And even your precision pellets are very affordable, you know, for people to shoot. And you have them available in many different calibers and many different offerings. Like you have what, hollow points and then hollow backs and that sort of thing. I'm just curious, and this shows my ignorance. What's the difference between a hollow point and a hollow back? Why would you shoot one over the other?
Well, the hollow point is designed so that there's some expansion on the bullet when it impacts game. Air guns are not shooting bullets fast enough to turn them inside out like they do with guns that are shooting at a few thousand feet a second.
Right.
But it does give you some expansion in the bullet. Now the ones with the base being modified to be hollow, and one of the advantages of that is that it collects the air efficiently behind the bullet in the chamber, in the barrel, and it pushes the bullet weight forward so that they're a little bit more, they're probably more stable in some ways, simply because, you know, one of the things that bullets, you got to think about a bullet and think about it in terms of a badminton shuttlecock. Well, all the weight in the badminton shuttlecock is in the front of it.
True.
And so when it flies, it flies with the weight, and the tail behind it is the lighter weight part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Bullets are kind of the opposite of that. All the weight with bullets typically is in the back of the bullet,
and
because they're all narrowed down to a point in the front. Well, you've got to get that thing to fly, you've got to spin that very efficiently. And so bullets at a certain point, once they lose stability, basically they'll start to, the back end of the bullet's going to roll around and come forward, and that way it's going to start to tumble. Well, you know, that doesn't really happen as much with guns that are shot with the right kind of barrel twist, and air guns are no different. There's a barrel twist associated with the gun, and so they're designed to spin the bullets and make them efficiently and make them stable. But it's a lot of personal preference, you know, what the design of the bullet is. We tried to make bullets that, you know, have metallic tips on. And when we started Alco Bullets, we wanted to make unique bullets, custom bullets, and we wanted to make something that wasn't necessarily available in the commercial market.
Right.
And we can't really compete with, you know, a Hornaday or a Burger as far as production. And so we wanted to make something that was different and more custom. And we've been successful at doing that. Mm-hmm. We just carried that into the air gun world. So we don't just cast a slug or a round ball or a pellet and then, you know, produce that for the marketplace. We produce something that's more custom.
Right, right.
So people can get an idea of what those are like when they look at the difference between the air gun bullets and the copper bullets. They're going to see a lot of similarities if they go to our website.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, and your website has all of those different options available on it. It's like I said, it's fascinating to me, all the technology that has gone into not only the bullet side of your business, but then the pellet side of the business is carrying right along. And that seems to be really an up and coming, sport for the people that are shooting enthusiasts and that sort of thing. And especially for the hunters, what a great way to go out and harvest another animal in a very unique way.
Yeah. One of the things, I went to an air gun, national air gun competition in Utah 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And they have professional shooting teams there, just like you would if you went to a professional rifle shooting match, a PRS match.
Right.
You know, you went up to the racks where all the guns were and you'd look at them and you'd realize they got the same $2,000 optics on the gun. You know, they're shooting these guns that are made in Sweden and other manufacturers, the high end. And when I talked to some of them, the professional shooters, well, they were kind of gravitating, you know, primers or the components to produce ammunition for their own competition were getting expensive and difficult to get. So for a lot of them, they just kind of gravitated to this as a new way to compete and shoot and have fun. And, you know, the way the competitions are set up, they can make it very, very challenging because you might be shooting at targets that are the size of a quarter at 100 yards with a 22 caliber pellet that's going less than 1,000 feet a second. So you can do the math and you can do all the wind voodoo and try to figure out how are you going to be competitive. Well, you know, these guys take that challenge on, and that's what, you know, that's part of their new shooting world is air guns and precision air guns.
Right, right. Interesting. So what's in the future for Alco Bullets? Do you have more bullets and options on pellets coming? Are you going to be doing anything else in this world in regards to the guns or the ammunition itself?
Well, we're trying to introduce some new bullets in the copper jacketed world. We're kind of limited by, you know, one of the resources that any small manufacturer has, is that we have to get, we start out by buying jackets that are, basically ready to load or ready to produce into a bullet.
Right.
We're not at a point where we produce our own jackets. We're working with a vendor who is going to be able to do that. So we'll have some new calibrations, some bigger calibrations in the copper jacket business, and as well as in the air gun business, we'll have some new calibrations. And, you know, when COVID kind of took over and shut down most of the free world, getting tools to produce anything in the ammunition world was very, very difficult. And the wait wait times on any kind of tooling was, you know, out to a year.
Really?
And that's gone down a little. You know, it's changed a little bit, but it's still a long time to get the precision dies done. And so that's just, and it's just part of the world we're in right now.
But right.
We're working on that. So we got some new things that are going to come out on our website, you know, new bullets and different calibrations and designs for, you know, some of the larger air gun bullets in particular.
Sure. Now, do you have people that call you and say, hey, Bill, I've got this, you know, I have this need of this type of bullet or this type of pellet, and then will you customize per individual in some cases?
Well, I can, as long as the caliber is something that I have the tools to make. I mean, I had a gentleman that we had a conversation back and forth on text messages, and he had a World War II Russian rifle, which is, you know, a lot of them. I mean, there's obviously a lot of them around.
Sure.
And not a lot of people do hand loading for this particular Russian cartridge, but he was interested in getting a bullet like we make for this particular gun. The problem was is that the dimensions of that bullet were so different than anything we make that I didn't have anything that he could use. And
uh-huh.
And I'm not really sure that I could refer him to anybody else because, you know, not a lot of custom bullet makers are making making it bullets for, you know, these guns that were produced in 1940.
Right. Right.
You can get surplus ammo, you can get ammunition for them, but you can't really get necessarily custom loading supplies for it because there's not a big market for it.
Right.
But if people have specific need for, certain types of bullets or styles, if I have the tools for it, I can do it.
Oh, that's great, man. And you work out of your shop I haven't seen your shop, but I picture that you're pouring lead and you have all sorts of very unique tools to make these very precision bullets and pellets. It must be a fascinating place.
Well, what swaging is a word that, I mean, if you put swaging into a spell check, it'll always say that you know, the way you spelled it is incorrect because it's that obscure. But swaging is an industrial process where you put metal you could probably even compare it to plastic. You put it inside of a die, and then you force it with hydraulic pressure into a shape. And what we do is we do that with pure lead. We swage the cores to an exact weight so they match up with all the components, so we can predict that this bullet weigh 150 grains or whatever it's going to be.
Uh-huh.
And then we use a different set of dies to actually, you know, perform all the operations on the bullet that, you know, turn it from, you know, a handful of components into a finished product.
Right.
The air guns are no different. You know, the air guns, you just take, you know, lead that either comes in form of lead wire or castings that we make and put it into a machine and swage it.
Mm-hmm.
The advantage to that, the advantage to swaging over casting is that the swaging, the whatever the dimensions of the die are, if it says it's going to be 0.510,
right,
it's going to be 0.510. It can't really be anything bigger or smaller than that.
Oh.
With casting, when you pour lead into a mold, typically it's always cast larger than your specified caliber.
Right.
And then you run it through a sizing die to get it to the final dimensions.
Oh,
because the lead, you know, it expands when it goes into the die or into the mold, and then it shrinks as it cools. And so if you're predicting that you want something to be 0.510, you're going to cast that a little bit bigger than that and then size it down. Well, you know, I think we just have more consistency and more accuracy with swaged lead versus casting.
Oh, interesting.
The casting's a also part of the air gun world, is part of, you know, the bullet world in general.
Uh-huh. I'll be darned.
But we specialize in swaging, you know, both our copper bullets and our air gun bullets. So we think they're more accurate and more predictable and consistent.
Right. Well, very good. Now I'm just curious, in your distribution, Do you distribute outside of the United States or just within the U.S. itself right now?
Right now, we're just doing selling bullets inside the 50 states,
uh-huh.
United States, and we haven't done any much in the way of exporting at all, or even really considered it.
Yeah,
you know, we're small enough that we, you know, keeping up with our domestic orders is keeping us plenty busy, and so that's just why we haven't really done much in the way of distribution outside the U.S.
Got it.
I've had numerous prospects from Australia and the UK and places where they wanted me to sell them, and I always made a deal with them. I said, if you put me up for a month on holiday and you buy all the equipment from the tool maker, I said, I'll come over and show you how to make your own.
There you go. And nobody's taken you up on that yet, huh?
Some have talked about it, but nobody has taken me up on that because,
really?
You know, what we make is not proprietary, but it does require you to, you know, there's a whole lot of steps involved in figuring out how to do this right. And believe me, I spent about a year doing it wrong before I figured out how to do it right.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, Bill, man, hey, I want to thank you so much for coming on and enlightening us on what you do and the unique part of the sporting industry that you are playing in. It's just fascinating to me. I really enjoy the conversations on the air guns and what the opportunities are. That seems like that's just going to be a sport that explodes in the future. And at least in my opinion, you guys are on the bleeding edge of that. You are going to really reap some rewards on that as that sport gets more and more popular. How do people get a hold of you, Bill, if they want to look at some of your products or they want to talk to you about, you know, what their needs are and that sort of thing?
Well, they can go to our webpage, which is alcobullets.com.
Uh-huh.
And there's plenty of information about the bullets and, you know, all the different things that are associated with understanding more about it. Or they can shortcut that process and they can just call me directly at my cell phone number that is listed on our website.
Very good. Very good. And we're going to put your telephone number and your email address and the link to your website in the show notes also. So if you're listening to this on Spotify or iTunes or Google Play or one of the other syndicated podcast channels, just click on the show notes and all of Bill's contact information will be there. Bill, thank you so much for joining us today. It has been my pleasure. We're really looking forward to having you come back sometime in the future and give us a little update on this. Would you do that for us?
Sure would.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's get together later in the year. We'll have some hunting reports.
I'd love that. I would love that. Bill, thank you very much. You have a great week and stay cool, man.
Yeah, will do. Thanks, Ted. Okay.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For all your help.